welcome to The Encourage Project. I'm Amy Fairchild. And some episodes are a little slower to start than others, and today is one of those episodes. This is probably my 15th attempt to get this thing out there, and I think we're ready to go. So today, I want to walk you through an incredibly helpful project management tool. And before I do that, if you're new to the Encourage Project podcast, hit subscribe and make sure you're staying up to date on all the great things we're sharing with the community. And further, at the end of today's episode, be sure and leave a review. Let us know what you think and share the podcast with others. The more, the merrier. In addition to that, we do have a brand new website, theencourageproject.com. It's a great place to go and get the latest episode, or you can find out about the services and things that we offer. You can share your story of your own human project, and you can also click on the Say Hello button and send me a note. Let me know what you think and send me feedback. I'd love to hear from you. So now that we're off to a good start, let's talk about today's topic. Today, I want to talk about risk, and I want to talk about managing risk in our human projects. When most of us think about risk, I think the most familiar context for people is the context of finances or investing. So when you hear about risk, you think, oh, I'm investing in the stock market perhaps or whatever. And a lot of people are familiar with risk in that context. Most of us don't really think about consciously the fact that risk exists in everything that we do. And in particular, it's in new endeavors that we undertake. And we don't really realize that it's something that can actually be addressed and managed. And what's really important to me to share about risk is that I'm learning that risk is becoming, or the perception of risk is becoming, paralyzing to people, and they don't even start their human projects because they're so overwhelmed by all the what ifs. And so today, I want to give you a tool that will help you wrangle some of that what-ifing so that you actually get to start your human project. You actually get to take some action and move something forward. You get to envision things and see them come to fruition, and you get to keep dreaming and do something about it without being paralyzed, or at least without being as paralyzed. So, what is risk? In project management terms, it is a possible future event or circumstance that can potentially affect the outcome of your project. So it's something that hasn't even happened yet that could do something to affect the outcome of your project. And in layperson's terms, it's really just all the stuff that keeps us up at night. It's all the what-if-ing we do when we're lying awake going, oh my gosh, what if this happened? What if this happened? What if this happened? What if this happened? Really, risk is just a fancy word for worry, to be really honest. What if I told you there was a way that you could wrangle that worry and significantly reduce the anguish and the bandwidth and the cycles that you spin in that worry space? Would you want to hear more about it? Well, of course you would. So we're going to talk about what's called a risk assessment. Well, so what is a risk assessment? A risk assessment is a conscious consideration of those possible future events or circumstances. That's it. It's conscious consideration of possible future events or circumstances. A risk assessment is not license, just so we're clear, to sit and spin and worry and just get all wound up. It's not. It is a way to manage or wrangle that worry. It's essentially what if on steroids, but with a plan attached to it. Before I talk about what it is and how we're actually going to do a risk assessment, I want to point out something that a lot of people don't consciously consider, and that is risk is not entirely negative. When we think of risk, we generally do think of it in terms of the things that could happen that would create a bad outcome or an undesirable outcome. But risk can also be positive. So here's an example of a negative risk, right? We all know what those are. Well, what if I go on vacation while I'm trying to lose weight, right? That's a negative risk. Some negative things could occur, right? But a positive risk could be, and I actually thought of this one as I was developing my approach for the Encourage Project podcast And that is, what if my podcast is so wildly popular that it generates more clients than I can personally manage? That's a positive risk. That's something that hasn't happened yet that could happen, and it'd be great, and I need to figure out a way to deal with it, right? So risk can be negative or positive. If risk can be negative or positive, and it's something that has not yet occurred, why do we even need to consider it? Why do we even need to put conscious effort into looking at those things? And there are three reasons why. The first reason is peace of mind. Making a risk assessment, consciously looking at the what ifs and the worry, gets you out of the emotion and the thought swirl that goes on with that and moves you to a place of being able to take action. It frees up mind space and energy to do the things that you want to do. You get to take all the things that you worry about and you lay them out and you get to consciously consider each one of them. You are actively managing worry. And what you're saying is, this thing hasn't happened yet, so I'm taking the time at a moment when I am detached from it, when I'm not in the middle of it, and I'm not actively dealing with it, to dig a little deeper and identify potentially some responses. The first reason why it's important to consider risk is by doing so, you get some peace of mind. The second reason it's important to consider risk is that it gives you the opportunity to prepare. If you listened to the episode that I did with Kathy Hodges, one of the things she talked about was the difference between planning and preparation. And preparation says you've thought through it and you've kind of walked through it and you're not going to be completely blindsided when something happens. Considering risk allows you to prepare. It creates a little bit more calm in the chaos if that thing actually happens. And it says that because I'm not in the middle of it right now, I'm just assessing it, I'm taking a step and I'm saying, hey, well, that's interesting. What if that happened? What would I do? Or how could that affect me? How big a deal would it be? How likely is it to happen? What things would I need to have available to deal with it? So the second thing that makes it really important to consider risk is it allows you to have some preparation, either mentally or it allows you to line up some resources. And the third reason why it's so important to consider risk is that considering risk is action-focused, not emotionally focused. It ensures momentum when that risk actually comes to fruition, if it does. When you have prepared for a possible event to happen, your ability to respond and maintain momentum in your human project is exponentially greater because you're not spending cycles and time trying to figure out what to do and getting yourself centered and all the things. You've put forth some effort so that if that thing comes to fruition, it becomes a speed bump rather than a roadblock. And you get to ensure the momentum of your human project. So those are the three reasons why it's important to consider risk. Well, so if it's important to consider risk, how do you even do it? Well, the first thing you do is you identify the risks. You identify the worries. It is as simple as writing them down. And I encourage people to do this on a piece of paper. I know we all have smartphones and computers and tablets and all the things where we can type things out. But there is science that proves that the brain processes more effectively when it actually sees the hand put the pen to the paper. I can't explain it to you. You can go Google that, but there is science that supports this. The same thing is true in my experience with risk assessment. When I write those things down, my brain says, okay, I don't have to worry about that right now because I saw you put it on a piece of paper and I know it's safe somewhere else. So the first thing you do is identify the risks, and I encourage you to write them down. Get them out of your head and put them somewhere where you can see them and consider them. The second thing that we're going to do in a risk assessment is determine whether or not that risk, if it happens, meaning it hasn't yet happened, but if that thing happens, is it a big deal or not? And the way we determine whether it's a big deal or not is we ask two questions. Number one, how likely is it that that thing is going to happen? Is it a low likelihood? Is it medium? Is it high? Make it simple, low, medium, high. How likely is it that that thing's going to happen? And the second question to ask is, if that thing happens, how big a deal is it? Again, low, medium, and high. How big a deal is it? How likely is it to happen, and how big a deal is it? So that's the second thing we do. We determine whether or not the risks that worry us, if they come to fruition, are a big deal or not. And then the third thing we do is we determine if we're actually going to do something if that thing happens. And the way we do that is by looking at the different responses that could happen if a risk became an actual issue, if it became an actual thing, right? There are three general types of responses we can consider when we look at a risk coming to fruition. And the first one is, and this is the one that people hear most often or hear about or interact with most frequently, and that's called mitigation or hedging against the thing. It's reducing the chances of that risk actually happening. So let me give you an example. The risk is, what if my business outgrows my ability to personally work with every person? How can I ensure that people have access? That's a risk. It hasn't happened, but it could happen, right? And it's a positive one. Well, how likely is that to occur? I say it's highly likely, and I'm hoping that it's highly likely to occur, right? And if that thing does happen, how big of an impact will it have on me? If my business grows so much that there is so much work that I can't personally attend to everyone, how big a deal is that? To me, that's a big deal. So the likelihood of it happening is pretty big, and the impact if it happens is pretty big. So to me, it's worth coming up with a way to mitigate that, to avoid that happening or reduce the chances of that happening. And so the way you can mitigate something is doing some things to kind of keep it from occurring, obviously. And for me, in this instance, if I'm afraid that my business is going to grow bigger than I can support it, I'm going to do a couple of things, and I already have this in my plan. I'm creating online workshops now to create capacity so that people have access to the tools and things that I'm sharing. And also, I'm beginning to develop partnerships with people that I know and trust, whom I might invite at some point in the future to work with me and coach clients with me. I've decided that that risk is a big enough deal to me that I actually want to have a plan for it. My plan is to try to avoid it happening or reduce the chances of it happening through mitigation. So mitigating a risk, reducing the chances of it happening, is one way you can respond to a risk that you have identified. The second way that you can respond to a risk that you've identified is do nothing. And when I say do nothing, I don't mean ignore it, do nothing. I mean make a conscious decision to accept the situation if it happens. And that is a perfectly valid response. Let me give you an example. In my dating project, if you didn't listen to that episode, go check it out. I should have actually talked about risk in that one, but I didn't. Anyway, we're going to talk about it now. So one of the risks I identified, and don't laugh, but it was a risk, is what if the person doesn't think I'm pretty? But it's true. It was a risk that I had. What if this person doesn't think I'm pretty? Okay, so that's the risk. How likely is that to occur? And in my assessment, the likelihood of that occurring was medium. And in my assessment as well, how big a deal would it be if someone didn't find me pretty? In my assessment, it was kind of low. It wasn't going to be a huge deal, but it wasn't going to be nothing. It was just kind of low, right? And so I decided that the chances of it happening are medium and the impact is kind of low. I'm not going to do anything about it if someone actually says to me, I don't think you're pretty. Because here's why. Number one, I cannot change someone's opinion. And number two, I won't change myself to fit someone else's mold. So I choose to do nothing if the risk of someone telling me I'm not pretty comes to fruition. So there you go. Do nothing is a perfectly valid response, and it needs to be conscious. And it means accept the situation, not ignore it and hope it goes away, but accept the situation. And the third way, or the third area of response that you could come up with for managing your risk or responding to your risk if it becomes an issue, is determine a specific action plan. For example, I identified a risk in coming up with a podcast. What if Squadcast, which is one of my recording tools, crashes during an interview. What if Squadcast crashes, boy, that's a mouthful, during an interview? And I said to myself, well, how likely is that to happen? The likelihood's pretty small. And what's the impact if it does? The impact was big. I mean, if I'm in the middle of an interview with a guest and my recording tool crashes, that's a big deal. This risk was a big enough deal to me that I needed to have a response. And in that situation, I identified what's called a contingency plan or a backup plan or a plan B. It's called all different kinds of things, but I identified a backup. That was my response. And my backup plan was to use a different recording tool, Zoom. If Squadcast crashes, I'm going to use Zoom. So that's a perfectly acceptable plan if that risk comes to fruition. So there are three different kinds of buckets of response you can come up with when you're looking at risk and what you will do if the risk becomes a reality. You could mitigate, you know, reduce the chances of it happening. You can do nothing, which is just accept it if it happens. Or you could plan a specific response or specific action if that thing came a reality. Okay, so now we've done our assessment. We've identified risks. We've determined whether they're a big deal. We've determined whether we're actually going to do anything about them. And if we do something about them, what would it be? One of those three things: mitigate, do nothing, or plan a response, right? So you've done all this work. You've gotten all of your worries out of your head and you've put them on a piece of paper and you've consciously reviewed them. What do you do with it now? You have this piece of paper. And the answer is you want to review it regularly. And what that means to you is whatever it means to you. It could be weekly, it could be daily, it could be monthly, whatever makes the most sense for your human project. Review your risk assessment regularly because some risks will no longer exist or will no longer be valid at a future point in time, meaning like enough time has passed or the milestone in your project has come and gone and that risk just doesn't even exist anymore. So cross it off. And also, as you go through your human project, you may discover new risks, and your risk assessment, your little list, becomes a living document, right? You keep track of those things so they're not in your head and keeping you up at night. So the first thing you do is you review them regularly. What do you do if a risk actually becomes an issue? If the risk becomes a reality? Here's what you do. You stop what you're doing and you remember, oh my gosh, I did this assessment. It's on a piece of paper. And you go find that piece of paper and you look at the response that you planned, whatever it is. Now, the great thing about this is that in the moment when that thing has become a reality, you're probably emotional, you're probably a little panicked, it might feel a little chaotic, but this list helps you wade through that adrenaline and emotion of the moment to get your bearings and plan your next step. And if what you have identified as the plan for that risk still makes sense, then by all means, do it. But here's the thing. If it doesn't make sense in that moment, once it becomes a reality, that's okay too. You can always change your mind and come up with a plan to address the issue now that it has become a reality, right? Just because you decided to address a certain risk in a certain way at a certain point in time doesn't mean you have to do that when the time comes. It just means that you have at least one solution to consider and one plan to potentially enact. It gives you a way to focus and ensure the continued momentum of your project. So, to recap, in human project terms, risk is just another word for worry. Anything we can do to help manage worry is a good thing. Are we ever going to think of all of the what ifs in a project? Are we ever going to think of what if this happened? What if this happened? What if this happened? What if this happened? Well, there's no way that's possible. And that's okay, because that assessment is ongoing, right? New ones are going to pop up and we'll have to approach them and address them. And that document becomes a living document. The risk assessment means we can address worry in a prescriptive way. We can identify it by writing it down. We can decide how big a deal it is by assessing how likely is it to occur and how big of a deal is it if it occurs. And we can decide what we're going to do if that risk becomes a reality. We can do nothing or we can do something. And both are good choices. Does it mean that we won't ever think about those things or we won't ever get a little emotional about them or we won't occasionally spin thinking about them. No, it does not mean that. But there is a reward for identifying and consciously reviewing your risk. And that reward is when we can free up some mind space and create some peace, we know we've done our best to assess and prepare, and we have positioned ourselves in the best way possible to execute against our human projects. When you finish listening to today's episode, what action can you take after you hit stop? I would encourage you to start your risk assessment. Take 5 minutes and list all the things that you worry about around your human project. You don't need to spend a lot of time, you know, agonizing or anything, but just take a few minutes and list all the things that you worry about around your human project. Make that list and put it on a piece of paper and set it aside. And then as you consider reflection today, the ahas, the oh no's, and the yippees, maybe consider the likelihood and impact of the things that are on your list. And as you consider, how likely is this thing to occur? And if it happens, how big a deal is it? As you start to do that, you might begin to squash some of the swirl that you may be experiencing if you're one of those people who is experiencing that right now. There's a lot of great stuff going on in your human projects, and I want to hear more about it. So join the conversation. You can find the Encourage Project on Instagram, Facebook, and you can find me on LinkedIn. You can also go to our website, like I mentioned, theencourageproject.com, and click Say Hello. I'd love to hear from you. You can also email me directly, hello@theencourageproject.com. Well, that's it for this edition, friends. Be safe, be well, and take care.